Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. I'm glad that you were able to join me. I'm excited about the message that I believe God wants us to know, and I'm excited to be the one to deliver it. Amen. Not because of me, not because of what I've done, but what Christ has done for me. Ooh, God's grace is sufficient. So we're going to get into the message on tonight. You may want to get your paper and pen if for any reason you're having difficulty hearing me. Please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you're having some difficulties, and we'll do everything within our power to try to correct that. I've been having a little difficulty with our audio lately, so I'm working on getting that taken care of so that we won't have any issues with the broadcast, and it could be broadcast in excellence. Amen. So let's get into the message. Get your pens and paper. I'm going to be going through some scriptures on tonight. But first and foremost, I want to lay the foundation as always. I want to lay the foundation with the word of God. And then that's going to take us right into our message on tonight. I don't believe that's going to be a long message. Who knows? I might be able to have you all out of here in 30 minutes. That would truly be God's grace. But that's my goal, is to get in here and not dwell it out. Is to get in here, get the message to you, the message that's meant to transform us, the message that's meant to change us, that to get us vertically aligned, for you to grasp that with everything within you, with every fiber of your being, and then you could take that word and you can move forward in the days to come and be able to apply that word and remember the word so that that word can help you in this this Christian life, in this walk as a believer. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to start in, let's see, 2 Corinthians. Let me see here. Bear with me here. Chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. And I'm going to read this twice. But just get ready. I'm going to read two different versions. I'm going to read the first version is King James Version. I'm going to read to you. And then I'm going to read the Message Version because I want to lay down the King James Version. But the Message Version just takes it all the way home. So, again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, I'm going to turn over to the Message, and I'm going to read those same verses 7 through 10. But in the Message Bible. Coach D, ask questions. Coach D, why are you going to read it out of the Message if you just read it out of the King James? Again, King James, I read King James. Everybody cannot really get into King James. There's kind of a language difference between the two. I like the Message Bible. I want to be careful when I'm reading the Word of God, and I'm what works for you works for you. For me, I like to read King James, but then I sometimes will go and compare what I've read in King James because I want to get the trueness of it. And I know even in King James, there's some translations that's not correct, but I think it's probably closer to the original than some of the other versions. I like to go back to the Message Bible, especially when I'm in something like this, like a Bible study or a teaching, because everybody's not on the same level. And so it doesn't make somebody, a big I or a little you. All it does is that when I go to the Message, it puts it in layman terms. It makes it very easy to understand. So the Message Bible says, because the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angels did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it three times. He did that. And then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in and on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, stronger I become. Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you for bringing it to our attention. And Lord, we just ask that you are invited in the studio. Father God, we ask that you will have your way. We pray, Father God, for a rhema word, that we will get a true perception of what it is that you want us to get on tonight about your grace, Father God. Father God, I just thank you for this grace. But Father God, help us to understand your grace and why it's important to recognize and take advantage of that grace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Oh, let's get into this now because this is going to be some good stuff, some good stuff. So get out your beers because we don't want you drooling. You know, it's going to be some good food on the table on tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we just read from 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. And we're talking about God's grace is sufficient. And we've heard that as believers, we've constantly heard, I say it all the time, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. But even in learning tonight, I'm so amazed because I had to dig deeper to really truly understand what is it about God's grace. What is this thing called grace? Because we always speak it as believers. And one of the things I learned about being a believer, including Coach D, is we got these cliches, we got certain verses that we've heard our whole life. We say it, oh, God is good all the time. God is good. Oh, God's grace is sufficient. I mean, we got all these cute cliches we say, but never truly understanding it. And because we don't understand it, we see that we don't understand it. Because it's not, have you ever heard the saying, actions speak louder than words? And that's the way we are. We'll say these cliches, but our actions is not manifested with our words. So we could say this stuff through words. Yeah, God is good. Yes, God's grace is sufficient. But our actions, our life doesn't speak of that. You know, so you could tell the tree by what? The fruit it bears. And so our lives don't speak of that. And oftentimes, it's out of ignorance. It's not that because we just don't want our lives to speak of God's amazing grace. It's not because we don't want our life not to reflect God's goodness. But a lot of times it's just ignorance. We really don't truly understand what it is we're saying. It sounds good, but we don't really understand it. So my goal on tonight, I believe my assignment, let me say that, my assignment on tonight that God has given me is to speak his word on grace. For us not to just hear the scripture, 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, but for us to truly understand God's grace. Because even with me studying this on tonight, I'm telling you, I'm looking at God's grace a different way. Because I know I have a tendency when I feel like I didn't miss the mark. Sin is defined as missing the mark. What is our mark? Our constant mark is to be pleasing in the sight of God. That our constant mark is to make sure that everything we say and do is giving him the honor. And we know that we don't always do that. We know that we are not always our God selves. I'm not going to say our best selves, because really what is best? Because we may not be that, but we're not always our God self, amen? And so I know there's times when I miss the mark. I'm like Adam. How many of us could attest to that? Raise your virtual hand. How many of us know when we miss the mark with God, especially when we have a relationship with him? Now, we don't know him. We don't know. But see, Adam had a relationship with God. That's the only reason he went and hid in the garden, because he had a relationship. If he didn't know God, didn't have a relationship with God, it wouldn't matter. But he had a relationship with God, and he knew he did something wrong. And such like us, we miss the mark. It's our flesh nature to want to hide, to want to, you know, we want to run and hide. And, you know, and I'm no different. When I know I've had a day, especially on Thursday, when I know I've had a day where I've, or, you know, a week of missing the mark, when Thursday comes, it's really difficult for me to get on the show and bring forth the word, because I feel, you know, the enemy would have me to be condemned. He would have me to feel ashamed. You know, and the shame is not just a shame because I missed the mark, but the shame is that I don't want to hurt my God. I don't want to be disobedient. I don't want, you know, I want to be pleasing to him. So when I'm not pleasing to him, it hurts me, you know. And so, but understanding his grace is amazing, and we're getting ready to get into it. So we just finished, as I said, reading 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, where we heard about, where Paul was sharing with us about grace and about him, you know, him having an affliction, a handicap. And he was praying, he was praying, Lord, please take this away. Lord, please take this away. Lord, please take this away. Like many of us, we fasting and we're praying and we're believing for God to take situations away from us. We're believing for God to change situations. Whatever that thing is, many of us have prayed to God for years to change a situation, and he didn't, and we didn't understand why he didn't. But all the time he was telling you, his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And we're going to learn about that sufficient grace one tonight, because we believe we are saved. Now, as believers, now everybody tuning in may not be a believer, but as believers, we believe we are saved by faith through grace. We believe that God's grace finds us undeserved favor. We don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve his grace. We know that his grace cannot be earned. We know that it's something that God gives to us freely as his children. And actually, not just his children. God's grace is sufficient, not just for Christians and believers, but God's grace is sufficient across the board. If it wasn't sufficient, guess what? This world wouldn't even have to exist. Because it's a hot mess, and he could just in one blink just take it, just get rid of it. But his grace has been sufficient across the board. It's, I think, you know, there's no respect of person. And so we know that his you know, grace is undeserved favor. It can't be earned. It's something that God gives to us freely. And we count God's grace in the bridge he built in our relationship with him. When we truly understand God's grace, then we understand why God's grace is to be recognized and taken advantage of, not taken for granted. And that's what we're going to learn on tonight. Have you been taking God's grace for granted? Do you fully recognize his grace? Are you taking advantage of his grace? See, when we hear that word taken advantage of, we always see it in a negative context. Because we always say, you're taking advantage of me. But see, God wants us to take advantage of his grace. It's an advantage. You know, you also hear somebody had an advantage point. You know, somebody might say, well, yeah, he had an advantage over me because he came from this neighborhood and, you know, this socioeconomic background. So he had a better advantage than me, right? So advantage is not a bad thing. So God's grace is to be taken advantage of. And even more so with us being his children, we should be taking advantage of his grace. So what do it mean when God said his grace is sufficient? When we hear that, what does that really mean? Because we say it all the time. God's grace is not just for the forgiveness of our sins. We know that, but it's not just for that. But grace is to remove sin from our lives. Listen to that. But we always think about grace as, oh, okay, God's covering me. He's keeping me. But grace is also to remove sin from our lives. Grace means that we quit feeling inadequate. Oh, how many times have we felt inadequate? I just felt inadequate today when God sent me to this message. I was feeling inadequate. I was feeling like, man, you know, I'm off track. Lord, I'm out of alignment. Just like a car's wheel alignment. You know when it's out of alignment because it's not riding smooth. The ride's not smooth. You know, it's kind of janky. You know, the balance is off. If you let go of the steering wheel, it's going to pull to the left or pull to the right. That's how you know your wheel alignment is off. Same thing with us. We know when we're out of alignment with God because we normally go through, there's certain telltales. One of the telltales for people that's out of alignment with God is they don't have no peace. There's no rest. They're constantly in conflict. Life ain't smooth as it, you know, like it normally is. Those are some of the things that tells us we might need to get back in alignment. right? So God's grace being sufficient means we don't have to feel inadequate. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect in this life as long as we're living in this flesh and we have this thing called a soul that carries our emotions and stuff. We won't be perfect in this life. We need God's grace. We need God's grace in this life to understand our circumstances and everything around us, you know, that God does. We need his grace. We need to understand that we need God, period, right? So that's what God means, his grace is sufficient. And when I think about God's grace being sufficient, my conversation over the last 2 weeks has been about the two fish and the two loaves of bread. Everybody knows that story, you know, where they had to feed the multitude, and they had like 5,000 people, and all they had was two fish and two loaves of bread. And God, with that, took that, blessed it, and fed the multitude with leftovers, right? And I've been speaking on that because that's how my life is in this season. My life is truly that. I'm literally working with two fish and two loaves of bread, and yet, I have abundance. I have abundance, glory to God. And so I was talking about that, and God said, you know, his excessive provision is his grace and mercy over my life. So I'm recognizing God's grace. I'm recognizing that surely this is God's grace because I'm in a place of weakness, but yet I'm strong because of him. Amen. So I understand and I'm recognizing his grace. Why is his grace sufficient? What does it benefit me? What are the benefits of his sufficient grace for me? And I figured that the Lord's grace is sufficient to lift me and you from death and sin. So his grace is sufficient to lift us from death and sin, you know, and to endow us with eternal life. Because this is what this walk is about. We wouldn't even have to be doing, we wouldn't have had to make a decision that we're going to serve God, right? If there was no penalty, if we didn't think that there was anything after death. But we do, as believers, we believe that God, the creator of heaven and earth, sent his only son, which was God in the flesh, to come and pay the price, to be the permanent atonement for the sins of our forefathers, which Adam, from the sin of Adam. So he came as the bridge to get us back in alignment, to give us an opportunity to have a relationship with God and to have eternal life. So even when we leave here, our hope that we have is that when we leave here to be absent from the body here, that we'll be in the presence be in the presence of the Lord. So we believe that when we leave here, we're gonna still live on, right? And so God's grace, we understand, is sufficient for that. We understand that God's grace is also to change us. So what do you mean, Coach D? We can't keep talking about God's grace. We're not truly recognizing his grace and taking advantage of it if his grace ain't causing us to change. If there's no transformation taking place in our life and in our lifestyle, then are we truly recognizing and taking advantage of God's grace? Because the word of God says his grace is supposed to change us. It's supposed to transform us. And it's supposed to perfect us, right? We'll never be perfect in this life, but God's grace is to perfect us, is to change us. In other words, his grace being sufficient is supposed to cause us to want to be more like who? Christ. It's supposed to cause us to want to be honorable. We want to do things in our lives. So let me say something that's tangible so you could kind of see it. Because sometimes I think, Lord, I still do this, and I still kind of think like this, and I still have to, you know, take captive my thoughts, Lord, and, you know, so, you know, on any given day, I might get angry with somebody driving slow. I'm just saying stuff that's real stuff, right? But how you start measuring, you know, how do you start measuring your change? And many of us can say, you know what, I know I'm not who I used to be. And we often hear this cute little, another cute cliche that people say, well, I'm not where I need to be, but I'm where I used to be. Okay, that's fine, but don't use that as a crutch. But we just seen change. I seen change. I'm not trying to sit up in the clubs until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not trying to go in the club at all. I'm not knocking people that go in the club. That wasn't the purpose of me saying. I'm saying when you talk about somebody that used to be in the club, and I used to be in the club every day but Monday and Tuesday. I mean, I was a regular. It was so close. When I walked into it, they knew me by first name. I was a regular customer. It was like Cheers, you know. They everybody knew your name. I walked in there. I knew which night was ladies' night. I knew which night was free, you know, half off on drinks. I knew which night. I mean, I knew every night on different clubs. At this club, I'm going to be over here at the Red Onion because they had this on this night, and I'm going to be over here at this place. You know, all these clubs I could mention because that was my lifestyle. That's what I did. I was partying, and I was partying in my early adult life. I was out there hanging out at the clubs and stuff. But I don't have a desire to do that no more. I don't have a desire to be in certain environments no more. You know, I feel bad now if I go off on somebody. You know, I'm convicted, and my conviction won't allow me to be okay with acting certain ways. You know, I'm convicted if I cuss somebody out. I'm convicted if I'm doing something that I know that's not pleasing to God. And the difference between conviction and condemnation is conviction draws us closer to God. Conviction draws us to a spirit of repentance. Oh, Lord, I blew it last night. Just give me an example. I blew it. I missed the mark. Condemnation said, oh, I did that. I'm ashamed. And I might as well just go on back out into the world. I might, you know, I done messed up now. Now I might as well just go do everything. That's condemnation. Condemnation pulls us away from God. Conviction draws us towards God. Amen. So we were talking about, as I got on to that, but I want to give you something, like I said, tangible. I want to give you some examples of what that looks like with God's grace changing us. It's transforming us. Amen. I'm taking advantage of God's grace because I want to be transformed and I want to be changed. I'm recognizing God's grace and I'm taking advantage of God's grace because, you know, because I need it. I need his grace. Without his grace, anything can happen. It's his grace that wakes us up in the morning and gets us back home to go to bed at night. Even if we're having a rough life, it's still his grace that woke us up, that's given us another opportunity in life, another opportunity to make right choices, another opportunity to give him the praise. Amen? And what are the, you know, the God's grace, now I hear this, and I hear it in the spirit, and I know I've heard it. It's been a constant debate between the saved and the unsaved about God's grace. Does it have limits? Absolutely, it has limits. If God's grace did not have limits, then guess what? The entire world, including the most wicked people who have never lived or lived a life with God, would be saved. So everybody would be, you know, it's kind of remind me of the old Oprah Winfrey show where she would give people gifts. You know, she would tell everybody, look up under their seating, and you have a car, and you have a car. You know, everybody would be going to heaven. Everybody would be saved if God's grace didn't have limits. Because it does have limits. God's grace is limited. Either his grace is going to be limited or God or grace alone can save you. Grace alone cannot save you because everybody has experienced God's grace. So that's not what saves you. That is not what saves you. You know, what saves you is a heart and mouth confession, because you have to confess with your mouth but not just confess with your mouth, because we see people confessing God on the stage just after they got them singing trap music. For those of you that don't know what trap music is, I probably don't either, but that's all that cussing and name calling and all this demonic stuff that's filtering through our airwaves. But then you'll see these award ceremonies where people are getting up and getting their award, and they'll acknowledge God. But which God are you acknowledging? You're acknowledging the little G, because you can't be acknowledging the big G, because nothing you've done to get that award gave him the glory or the honor. Amen. So he does have limits, and grace can't save. Again, that's a heart and mouth confession, but also God's grace to play out. So don't just think and take for granted that that God's grace is going to be there, and you're not allowing the grace to do what it's supposed to do. You're not allowing the grace to do. And what is that supposed to do? It's supposed to keep us from sinning. It's supposed to help us in this walk, in this transformation. And if we're not allowing God's grace to do that, one day that grace may not be there. Every time, it may not be there. God's grace may not be there. So it does have limits. It does have limits. And then James 4:6 tells us, but he gives more grace. See, if people misinterpret that. He gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, grace to the humble. What you mean, Coach D? When you are taken for granted, that's proud. That's pride. Pride will not let you repent. Pride will not let you go to your father and say, hey, Father God, I missed it. I don't want to be this person. I don't want to still be doing this same old thing. That I don't want to keep going back to the very thing you delivered me from. And when you delivered me from this, I don't want to keep going back. But Lord, I know I've been tempted, but Father God, keep me from the temptation, Father God. That's called humble. I'm humbling myself before the throne of grace because I'm saying, Lord, please don't take your hands off of me. Father God, help me to live a righteous life. Help me, Father God, to be pleasing in your eyesight. And see, God, he gives more grace to the humble. But when you're walking around with pride and you're trying to justify why you live in a certain way, or you're trying to justify why you live in a lifestyle of sin, and people want to justify, well, I don't think that's what the Bible say, or the Bible, hey, the word of God is the word of God. You can't believe some of the scriptures and not all the scriptures. Either you believe the word of God or you don't believe the word of God. If you foul, just say you foul. I know I'm foul. He also has a scripture that speaks to that. He'd rather you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Either just straight say, this is where I'm going to live, and this is where I'm living, and then I'm going to suffer the consequences of how I'm living. Or say, I'm living foul, Lord, and I don't want to live foul. And I need your guidance. I need your help. I need your grace. Father God, forgive me of my sins. It's called repent. Call repentance. Amen. And so, because we want more grace. And as believers, we want more grace. So we got to keep ourselves humble. We can't get too proud. We can't get boastful. You know what I'm saying? We can't walk around like we got our stuff all together and think it's us. That we doing it, because it ain't us. It's God. And if you're a believer, it's God in us that's helping us get through this thing. Amen. And we need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge that. And we already acknowledge that grace alone is not, it's not God. It means it's God's love. It's God's love for us. He forgives and saves us, not because of us. And we got to realize that. It's not because of Coach B. It ain't nothing I'm doing. There's no reason logically for me to be going to heaven. But I thank God that I understand that logic is in rebellion to faith. And because logic is in rebellion to faith, and I'm saved by grace through faith, I'm going to be in heaven. And I believe that. Not just a confession with my mouth, but I believe that in my heart. And I pray that many of you listening in tonight believe in your heart. If you have 1 ounce of doubt that if God can wake you up in the morning, where you're going to go, then towards the end of this broadcast, I know I got some pastors on the phone, and I'm going to open up your lines, but until the end of this broadcast, I'm going to give you an opportunity by $1, and you ain't got to say nothing, just say you need prayer, and we're going to pray for you tonight. And you might have to say yes in the acknowledgement, but we're going to pray for you tonight. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ and you want a prayer of salvation. Maybe you have given your life to Christ, but your life done went so much stuff that happened in your life that you done fell off track, and maybe you just need to recommit your life back to Christ. We're going to give the opportunity of that tonight because I believe that the Spirit of God, His grace, is flowing through the studio on tonight. I know His grace is flowing through the studio. I feel the anointing, and the anointing is the very presence of God. So we're going to make sure that happens. Pastor Q, I know you're on the phone on tonight, so hopefully you'll be prepared. If we do get some people that dial one on their dial pad, that you'll be prepared to, to pray for them. Also, I know we got Minister Leah on the phone. Be prepared if we get people to dial one. A lot of times people don't want to do that, but I don't want one person to hang up from this show on tonight and they uncertain of their salvation. I don't want one person to hang up tonight without getting prayer if you uncertain of your salvation or you feel like you need prayer. Amen. Make sure you do that. Getting back, okay, so we know that grace alone means that God loves us, He forgives us, and He saves us, not because of who we are or what we do, but because of the work of Christ. So it's because of what Christ did that we're saved, not because of what we do. And we know that there are some religions that believe you got to sell so many of this and you got to walk so many of this and you got to do so many missions and stuff. And it's not saying that we got to dare, that we got to dare believe, because that's not what that says. And a lot of people think, well, you know what, I can just live the way I want to live because it ain't up to me. I'm just living, and it's just, God's grace, because no, faith without works is dead. So we need to make sure we put everything in proper context. Faith without works is dead. In other words, it even takes work to be saved. The work is you got to confess. You got to do something to get something, right? So you got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, right? And then it's your goal to try to live righteously. What's righteous? We get these big words, righteous. Let's say if I just break that down into a simplest term. Righteousness means making right choices. Just make right choices. Make choices that you know is going to give your Father, which is up in heaven, the glory, that is going to honor Him, that is not going to make somebody look and say, ooh, if that's what being a believer look like, I don't want to be a believer. And our life is a reflection of that. We could taint our own testimony. You see what I'm saying? I've tainted my testimony. Why? Because I take my testimony when I say I'm a child of God, but then when I'm getting upset about something and I let my mouth run, then I'm tainting my testimony. Because I can't go and minister to somebody I just took out. I can't say how good God is for somebody that I didn't roll my eyes at. I can't say how good God is if I'm sloppy drunk, walking down the street. I can't say how good God is, and I'm going to tell the truth. If I'm walking around and people can hardly breathe because I'm smelling like a skunk. For those who don't know, maybe the older crowd, smelling like a skunk is marijuana. So if I'm walking around reaping of marijuana, how can I go and tell people about the goodness of God? See, there's just some things that just don't fit into it. Some people say, well, God ain't convicted me on me drinking, or God haven't convicted me on me doing this. But everything is decent and in order. And so just because He ain't convicted you don't mean that He hasn't convicted somebody else. And when you hate to see somebody not make it into the gates of heaven because of something that you reflected, That's just something to think about, because we could say, you know what? That ain't my problem. I ain't responsible for other people, but it's going to tell us later on in here as I continue to move on. So we said, okay, so our best efforts can never be good enough to earn salvation. But God declares us righteous for Christ's sake. So because of what Christ did for us, we're righteous, right? We receive that grace through faith alone. So this is a faith walk. Our whole walk as believers, as followers of Christ, is a faith walk. Remember, I just said logic is in rebelling to faith, and the world is logical. The world says that if there's rain, I got to see it wet. And God is saying, as he told the days of Noah, you ain't got to see nothing wet. You better get prepared. Amen? So faith, we're in a constant state of walking through faith. And so we're walking through faith, and then because of that, with that being said, there's two things that grace allows us to do. It demands we live spiritual lives, no longer slaves of sin, and it provides us the two things that enable us to do this. Hear that? It requires, it demands us to live spiritual lives. Remember the word of God says that we walk in the spirit and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's hard to be thinking about God. It's hard to have God on your heart and your mind and be lusting and be doing something else. So if we stay in the spirit, then we won't have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you want to figure out how to get out your flesh, get into the presence of God. Get into the presence of God with worship music. Get into the presence of God in his word, in prayer, in worship. That's how you get away from, get out of the flesh. Just get into his presence. But it says he gives us two things that enable us to do this. And it's justification. Write this down. Romans 8:1. Justification, Romans 8:1. And sanctification, Romans 8:2-39. I'll read both, but I will recommend reading the whole Romans chapter 8. It's an amazing chapter. Read all of it. But sanctification is important. We already know we've been justified through Jesus, right, of what he did because we accepted him. But where I think a lot of us have a hard time in this walk is we don't understand sanctification, and that's going to be a whole nother show. I'm not going to get into it tonight. But I would have you make sure if you don't read the whole Romans, read 8:2-39. That is the whole. Because start understanding what does sanctification, what does that mean? What does that look like? And again, I promise you we'll get a show on that so we can break it down a little better for all of us. And then I'm going to start coming towards a close. I said I wasn't going to be long, but I want to come to a close with this. This grace thing, man, it's just amazing. I want to give you five characteristics of grace. And I found this, but it was five characteristics of grace, and I thought it was a great, it's not me, this is not from me, but when I was studying, I was able to find this, it took its acronym, and it broke down five attributes, and I thought it was good. And this is going to go back to when I talked earlier, because a lot of times we don't want to be responsible for other people. And unfortunately, well, I'm not going to say unfortunately, but our walk is such, as believers, our whole walk is about other people. God said, you know, Jesus, when he said, I've given you two more commandments, I'm giving you two new commandments. And it was the first was vertical. It's you and God, your relationship with God, loving God with all of you. And then the second, and I keep saying this, and I'm keeping saying, and the second one was horizontal. That's you and your neighbor, your brother, your life believer. You know, so remember those two new commands were love the Lord your God with all of you vertically, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself horizontally. So you cannot have you can't care about other people and say that you are a believer. So the five attributes is one is G. It's for generosity, the will to do something more for others. G, generosity, the will to do something more for others. Aura is respect, the dignity of life and work. A is action, the mechanism for change. The mechanism for change, A, action. C is compassion, the concern for others. And E is energy, the spirit that catalyzes us. So generosity, respect, action, compassion, and energy. That's the five attributes of grace. The five attributes of grace. So we see now, and hopefully we understand that when we say God's grace is sufficient, we truly understand what we are saying. We're understanding the attributes of that grace, because guess what? God gives us grace. He gives us mercy. He gives us compassion. He gives us love. And he commands us to give it to our neighbor. So you can't be expecting grace from God when you can't even give grace to your blood brother because they stepped on your toe. I hear people, do you know more families fall out behind money? You know, I loan somebody some money. And I could think of people I loaned money to, and I was angry that they didn't pay me back my money because I needed my money. But I thank God for his grace, because his grace changed me, where after that anger, I was able to let it go. Would I still like to get my money? Yes, I would. But I was able to let it go so that I didn't continue to harbor ill feelings and ill will for somebody, you know, because that's going to be between them and God. That don't have nothing to do with me. And even able to have the grace to forgive somebody, the compassion to love somebody in spite of their shortcomings, in spite of their faults. You know, God seen all of our faults. You know, he's seen our faults, but he see our needs. He overlooks our faults, should I say, to see our needs. So if he does that for us, he's expecting us to be able to do that. You know, like the disciples and the Pharisees was always trying to ask them questions. The disciples was asking because they just really wanted to know, because they had their own life issues and they wanted to know. I mean, this dude keep messing up with me. How many times am I supposed to forgive him, Lord? He says 70 times 7. And, you know, many of us don't even want to forgive one. A lot of us are still harboring, walking around with unforgiveness in our heart. But we want God to forgive us, and we've been screwing up from birth. It don't work like that. The same grace that God gives us, he's expecting for us to provide that same grace and mercy to others. You know, in the Word of God, we talk about judging. I was talking to a family member, and we, you know, this thing about judging, you know, judging, and we will judge the world. However, it's a righteous judgment. And, you know, the Word of God says, go on and judge. But with the same measure you judge, you will be judged. So go on. If you want to keep judging, go ahead. Not a thing. You ain't going to go to hell. But guess what? With the same energy that you're judging people, just understand that that same energy, you will be judged. So if you're perfect, then cast the first stone. If you're not perfect, then you might want to put the stone down. Because I heard a saying, and it ain't biblical, but there used to be a saying that said, don't throw stones when you're living in a glass house. And that's the truth. If you perfect, then fine. But if you can't talk about the mold in your brother's eye, if you got a whole beam in your eye, you can't talk about somebody's sexual sin if you're a drunkard. You can't talk about somebody who drank it if you got hate in your heart. So I'm just saying, make sure you're perfect. And if you're perfect, then pick up the stones and throw as many as you want to. But if you're not, then just remember that, because you're going to be judged with the same measure that you judge. Amen. So, Father, I'm just going to give, I'm going to stop right now. We got a few minutes left, 10 minutes to be exact. If there's anybody, now if you're listening in online, you can't come live because there's nothing we can do. We can't even see you online. But if you are online and you feel like you need prayer, then please dial into the studio. That number is 646-721-9678. Again, that's 646-721-9678. So if you, I'm going to give you a minute. If you're going to dial in, come on and dial in. And when you, once you dial in, push 1 on your dial pad. That'll let us know that you need prayer. If you're in the studio, you know what to do. Push 1 on your dial pad. That'll let us know that you need prayer. And we will pray with you. You don't have to tell us your name. You don't have to tell us what you're going through. You can just let us know that you need prayer. Only thing I would ask you is that if it's a prayer of salvation, let us know that you need a prayer of salvation. If it's just prayer, because you need realignment, you need to recommit your life back, and let us know that. I'm not going to take a long time. I know people contemplate with this. You know, I know they go through back and forth because they, you know, they want to do it. They know they need to do it. But then the enemy will say, oh, you don't want to do that. Don't worry about doing that. How are you going to do this? It's just a show. This is just the internet. Oh, don't worry about it, but I'm going to let you know. You worry about it because if God is putting it on your heart and you feel like you need prayer because you know that you've been out of order and you want prayer to get yourself back in line, then don't hesitate because, again, this is not a scare tactic, but we know tomorrow's not promised. Many of us know people that did not wake up the next day. Many of us know people that just dropped dead in their steps. We know this, and we just want to make sure here at Processing the Pain and my partners in the MCD network, we just want to make sure that you know with certainty who you are and who you are. Amen. So, again, I'm just going to give you another second to dial 1 on your dial pad if that's you. If it's not you, then praise God. I'm excited that everybody is saved on tonight. They saved and they end the number. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Father God, I don't know. Minister Leah, are you available to pray us out tonight? I'm opening up your mic if you are available. If you're not, I'll give you a couple of seconds. If you are available to pray us out tonight, then just start praying. Okay, so maybe she's not available. So, Father God, we just thank you on tonight. Lord, thank you for this word, this powerful word of grace. Father God, it hopefully gave us a different perception, Lord, that we truly understand your grace is to be recognized and taken advantage of. Father God, I thank you that you have shared with us on tonight that your grace is to transform us. It's supposed to change us, Father God, and perfect us. Father God, I thank you. I thank you so much for allowing me to carry this word, Father, of grace that you've downloaded in to me to share with your people. But Father God, I thank you that it was a lesson for me as well. Father God, I thank you that each and every person listening in on tonight got the message and that it penetrated the walls of their soul, Father God. Lord, that their hearts have been unhardened for those whose hearts may have been hardened, that has been unhardened, Father. Father God, I pray that this word on grace has convicted, Father, that has caused people to want to turn away from whatever it is that they're doing that they know that's not pleasing to you, Lord. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for your grace sufficient. Father God, we also thank you that you help us to understand that your grace is limited, Father, that it's not a tool that we could just sin and do whatever we want to do and think it's going to be okay. Because, Father God, your grace is limited, Lord, because your grace has a job to do, and the job is the transformation. The job is the changing. And, Father God, if we're not taking advantage of that grace, Father, that's supposed to change us, that's supposed to cause transformation, Father, then we're absolutely not taking advantage of it. So, Lord, we just say thank you, Father. We thank you for your grace sufficient, and we thank you for your mercies, which are new every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray and I know and I believe through faith that something was said, even for the season thing, that something was said that just reminded you, you know, reminded you. Because sometimes we could just get, stagnant where we're just doing the same thing. There used to be a commercial. I think it was some kind of burger commercial. And the people said it would be a crowd of people walking the same thing, doing the same thing, the same way every time. And sometimes we get like that. You know, it's kind of like when you're going to work and you take a certain route to work, and you've been taking that certain route to work every, you know, for the last year. You can almost do it with your eyes closed. I don't know about you all. I can remember getting off of work and I'm driving, and before I know it, I'm home. And I could tell you truly that from the time I left work to the time I got home, I was unconscious. What you mean unconscious? I mean, I wasn't knocked out, but I was there, but I wasn't present, meaning I was on autopilot. I just knew what, you know, I've been taking the same route for, you know, for weeks, for months. And just, it was just habit to just go, you know, just get on the road and go. And so I would just literally get in the car at work, and then next thing I know, it's like I woke up and I'm home. So anyway, we could get stagnant like that even in our walk. And when we get like that, we do. We take for granted God's grace. We stop recognizing it. We stop taking advantage of it, and we start taking it for granted. And so I just believe that sometimes the word, God will give us a word just to remind us, to remind us and put us back on track, you know, put things back in proper perspective. And so I just pray that the word tonight has blessed many of you. We will be back on next Thursday. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and have a good week. Good night.
surrender.